If we haven't met before, my name is Scott, one of the pastors here, and just glad you're here with the family of Hope. Thank you. We're continuing our series on living in the zone of power, living an empowered life, knowing that God's plan for us is not to live weak or anemic or lives that have no energy. He promises us, and I don't know if you got your card last week, but if you didn't, please take one this week. Our theme scripture from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I hope this is somewhere in your life. If you didn't get one last week, put it up somewhere in your life, or you just will receive this promise every day. Here's the promise. God promises that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be a greater influence, a greater witness. The power of your life is not for you, but it's to be an influence on your Jerusalem. That's where you happen to be right now. Your Jerusalem. Your Judea, where you're going later on. Next neighborhood. Your Samaria, that surprising place that you never thought you'd be an influence in. And literally has the whole world covered to the uttermost parts of the world. So we have been looking at some keys and some doorways to moving our lives by faith into a greater dimension of power. How many know that God has more for you? Wherever you're at, that God has more. So last week, we talked about the door and the key of surrender. That when we say yes to God, yes to His plan, yes, to be in the right place that He calls us to, at the right time that He calls us to, incredible power is released. And today we're going to open a new door. We're going to look at a new avenue of power, a new attitude that we should have in our hearts, and a new practice that we should have. And we're going to look at the doorway and unlock the door of compassion.
What's up, Levi?
Hey, girl, what's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Oh, you ready for church?
Yeah.
Me too. I got my holy jeans on.
You look great.
You don't sound like you're excited for church.
Well, you know, just...
What's that box? That's a big box.
Yeah, it's been here all day, and it's really loud. And
has
really
it been
big.
Doing that?
Yeah.
Have you opened it?
No, it don't belong to me.
You're sitting next to a box. A box that's doing that, and you're not opening it.
Yes, because it's not mine, and it's not yours, so you don't need to touch it.
I do a lot of things that I shouldn't do, and I'm going to open this box.
See, this is what's wrong with the world. Everybody's trying to touch everybody else's stuff.
Look at the size of this box. Dude, this box could be like this. It could hold any. It could hold $1 million. They could be $1 million. $1 bills, a million of them in this box.
Listen, if I left $1 million sitting around somewhere, which I wouldn't, I would go back and pick it up.
Well, whoever left it isn't coming back, so how about we open it? But what if what's in here could solve world hunger? Ramen noodles for everyone.
I don't know. I don't care to get involved, and I don't even like ramen noodles.
What
it's
if what's
ramen.
In here could change your... Oh, okay.
Ramen.
We don't have time for that fight. What if what's in this box could change your life?
I don't know.
Levi, so glad you're at church today. Shameless plug. Pastor Scott is actually talking about how if we got involved with like each other's lives and things like that, that we could possibly, I don't know, make a difference, make it better. Okay, you don't believe me? Just check out this video.
Okay, fine.
We'll be right back.
You are created for connection. We are not on this planet to spend our days alone. And when we look at the life of Jesus, the whole reason that Jesus came to this earth was to connect us to God. And do you know why he came? Do you know why? Jesus came for a huge motivation. He loved you. And he wants you to love God. And Jesus lived an incredible life of power, and he was filled with compassion. And that's what we're talking about today. How compassion is a gateway to connect with one another and to spiritual power. Let me read a little bit about Jesus' life, and you'll see the compassion that he had when he looked at people. And when he looks into this room, he has the same emotion today. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus traveled through all the villages and all the towns. And what was he doing? He was teaching in the synagogues, and he was announcing the good news or the gospel of the kingdom. That was the kingdom of God. And he healed about 50% of the diseases. That's why you got to read along. That's why you got to keep me honest. He healed every kind. He had so much power that there was no disease more powerful than him. That's power. And every illness, every kind of illness. And here's how he looked at the people he was helping. And he looked at people and he was filled with compassion because they were confused and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and he knew that they needed leadership. He needed people that would be filled with the same compassion he had. So he challenges his followers and his disciples, and he says to them, hey, the harvest is great. In Jesus' day, there were a lot of people who were far away from God. How many know that there still are today a lot of people who are far away from God? And he said, there's a lot of people who are far away from God. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So here's a prayer I want you to pray. Pray that the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, will send more workers into the field. They literally prayed that prayer and became the answer to their own prayer. And we should pray that prayer. Oh God, do something. That's a good prayer. Send somebody. God says, I'm glad that you prayed that. I'm sending. You don't even want to say it. Well, let's do a little prayer exercise. Everybody, oh God, send somebody to change the world. Nudge your neighbor, say, it's you. Go ahead, nudge your neighbor. Just nudge your neighbor. It's you, it's you, it's you. And we're studying in these series, the book of Acts, the opening chapters, and looking at that early church. And last week we talked about surrender. Today we're talking about compassion. And I want to show you how compassion, which is caring for others, is a gateway, a doorway, a key to the power of God. We know from Acts chapter 2 that we studied last week that the power of the Holy Spirit came into the upper room. There was a mighty sound of wind. There was fire. There was spiritual languages. And then this happened. I want you to note this. If you've got a study guide or you're taking some notes, and God will bless you if you take notes. Compassion brings us to the place where we can be heard, where we can be heard. God has language and messages that he is trying to communicate. And as we did a moment ago, we nudged each other and said, you're the one. And compassion, watch this, compassion brought them from the upper room, Acts 2 and verse 4, to where the people were. Watch this. In verse 14, Peter stands up with the 11 and he raises his voice and he addressed the, what does he address? He addressed the crowd. Now, was the crowd in the upper room? No, there was 120 in the upper room. Where was the crowd? Where was the crowd? Out of the upper room. The upper room was a small room. I've been in it. It's not very big. And the Holy Spirit's power was given in that room. But watch this. It didn't stay in that room because God always wants you to walk to the place where you will talk. This is a great room. And we should have the power of God in this room. But the power of God is not for this room. The power of God is so that you can walk to the talk and be heard. So Peter stands up. Thank God he didn't stay in the upper room. How many are glad he didn't stay up there? You wouldn't be here if he stayed up there. If he just stayed up there going, oh, this is such a beautiful, let's just stay up here. He had compassion. Remember why they had to wait until the day of Pentecost? Many reasons, but one of the reasons they had to wait was because on the day of Pentecost, that's when the people were there. It was game day. There was you couldn't get parking. You bring your donkey in and go, hey, no, I can't find a place. I've circled the block 4 times. The streets were filled with thousands of people, and that's why the power came at that moment. Because the people who needed the power were present, and Peter, watch this, and the others had the compassion to walk to the place where they were going to talk. And he stands up, and he lifts his voice. Now remember, this is the same guy who just a few days earlier was standing by a little fireside, and somebody asked him, they said, you look kind of familiar. I think you're one of the followers of Jesus, right? And he said, no. He said, hell no. Well, he said, there was a curse word involved. I don't know if that's the exact one, but it's in the Bible. He cursed. He didn't just deny Jesus once, twice. How many times? 3 times. Why? Because he was filled with fear. How many know power and fear cannot live in the same body? At the same time. They can live in the same body, but not at the same time. You are motivated today by fear, and fear will keep your voice small and will keep you away from the place you need to be. Compassion, not just for yourself, but a compassion for others will cause you to walk to the talk. Lift your voice, and you are absolutely empowered. Because fear leaves your body, because there's a great assurance that he's going to give you the words to say in that moment. What Peter was not in the upper room writing out his sermon. He was up there praying. All of a sudden the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. In a few minutes, he walks to the talk. He says, hey, there's people downstairs, let's go. Because something inside him said, let's go. And there's something inside you that says the same thing, let's go. And you can have 1,000 excuses. I'm not prepared. I don't have the right words. Peter walks to the talk. He raises his voice. And his message is heard. 3,000 people make a commitment to God that day. As he preaches Jesus Christ, 3,000 people. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to walk out of this room and talk where 3,000 people will make a commitment, maybe. I'm talking about the power to walk to the person that the Holy Spirit asks you to walk to and know that he's got your back, know that he's giving you the power, know that he's going to put the words in your mouth because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And your voice needs to be heard in this generation. And he wants to empower you. So you have to consider not yourself, you have to consider the crowd. You have to consider the individual. You have to consider the person that needs to hear your voice, and compassion motivated them right out of the upper room, right onto the street. They lifted their voices and they were heard. And what we need are followers of Jesus to be heard in this generation. And we need you to stand up and be heard. So compassion lifts your voice higher. Compassion does something else. Compassion inspires generosity. Let me talk about being generous. Let me talk about this early church, these early followers of Jesus. They were not just generous, they were radically generous. Because why? Because they weren't thinking about themselves. Today is a day we're not thinking about ourselves. Today is a day of compassion. Today is a day we're thinking about others. Here's what happened. The power of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden there's 3,000 new members in this new community. And if you put 3,000 people together, I promise you, you've got some needs. So here's how they solve those needs. Verse 44. All of the believers met together in one place, and what did they do? They shared. What's that word? They shared everything they had. They weren't thinking about themselves. They were thinking about other people. Let me ask you, do you have any extra stuff in your life? Do you have any extra money in your life? I know somebody's going, no. And it's true, I'm barely keeping my nose above water. I get that. But when I'm talking about extra, I'm talking about the money we spend to buy expensive brown water. Extra. We don't have to go to the movies, but we go. Well, that's a necessity. Basically, this is true, and there could be some exceptions even in this room, but basically people that live in North America, where most of us live, basically people in North America have extra. Now, the real question is, if you've got extra, what should you do with it, or who does it belong to? And if you go, well, of course, it's my extra, so it belongs to me, that attitude is called greed. Greed. Oh, my extra that I may have, of course it belongs to me. Jesus talked about a man in Luke chapter 12, and he had a lot of stuff, and then he got some extra stuff, and he believed it belonged to him. So what did he do? He built bigger barns. It was his. It's my stuff. It's extra stuff. It's mine. And Jesus calls him a fool, because he believed all his extra belonged to him. Now, we all battle that. Darla and I battle that. There's always something more that we can get. So they have large screen TVs, right? And they just keep getting bigger. Like, there's always like another one. Like, what's a big one? Like, what's a big one? What? 65? 65? How many know? Anybody know there's bigger ones than 65? Okay, 65. Oh, no. I'm sorry. That's passé. I mean, it's 70. 70 is where it's at. And then some of you know even this, that they're bigger than 70. Yeah, some of you know this. Some of you are actually lusting after this right now in this room. No. No, I don't even know that. He's given me information. I'm just getting on the fly here. He just told me 90. Could that be true? You have to be in Georgia to watch that TV. There's just always something more, isn't there? There's always like, okay, I've got some extra, and is it mine? And we all do that. So Darla and I, we live in this world, and we have just decided we do not want to be greedy, because it's not all about us. We want to have compassion. We need to think about others. So we have decided that we're going to take a percentage of our income, and we're going to give it away. We give away at least 10%. That's what we do. And I just encourage you to think not about just yourself, but to think about others. This early church, that's what they were doing. And they were an incredibly powerful church in their generation, because they had this radical generosity that was fueled by their compassion. So I know some of you go, well, 10%, that's a lot, and I couldn't do that. And just try something. Just pick a percentage and give it every time money comes in, give that percentage. We are in America known as being a generous people. We give by impulse a lot, like the storms come into the Carolinas and we're praying for those people and we're giving to those people, and you can give to that cause through this church with Convoy of Hope to help, and we should do that. But I'm not just talking about impulse giving, I'm talking about regular systemic giving, a percentage of your income. 10% is called the tithe. And I know some of you go, oh, the tithe, that's from the days of Moses. I'm in the New Testament now. Well, welcome to the New Testament. Verse 34, they gave everything. Welcome. 100%. I'm not asking for this. That's a lot, isn't it? You're looking at me like, whoa. And then I know somebody's here going, you are a preacher. We know what you're doing. I'm really trying to get you to a place of generosity because I will promise you that generous people experience greater power in life. So let me take a few things off the table. I even said you can start with lower than we're at 10 or above. That's what we do. I lowered that down if that's going to get you started. And if you think that I'm angling for something here and you're going, there's an angle here, let me take that off the table. Give it somewhere else. Learn to think that life is not just about you. It's about others. Pick another church. Bless them. And I hope their pastor's preaching the same thing today. This early group is a model. See, this book of Acts, church, is not, it's not something I'm trying to get away from. It's something I want to study and go, they changed their generation. There's a story about Billy Graham who went to Russia when Russia was still under communistic domination. They invite Billy Graham went, and when Billy Graham got to Russia, he preached. What do you think he preached about when he got there? He preached about Jesus. That's Billy Graham. He always preached Jesus, 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 Jesus. And some people criticized him because he didn't raise politics. And they said, you were right there. You were in the heart of the Soviet Union. You were a heart of communism. You should have talked a little bit about politics because that's where the people are. You have set the church back 50 years. And he said, I'm so sorry. That's not my goal. My goal is to set it back 2,000 years. What a brilliant answer. This early church walked through this. Compassion, it took them from the upper room. Thank God for this room. If you thought of this as the upper room, thank God for this room. But it's not about this room. It's about walking to the talk. It's about radical generosity. And the third thing, it's about connecting to community. And that's what this weekend's all about here at Hope. It's about learning that your life is not for yourself. Compassion cares about others, and compassion moves us to connect with others. Compassion realizes that you are a part of something. And if you want to be a part of something, you cannot stay apart. You need to be a part. You getting that? You can't stay apart. You need to be a part. Are you getting that? How many times do I need to say this? I'm seeing if I get enough nodding heads, because some of you are looking at me like with glazed eyes going. Thanks for getting my humor. Look at this church. These 3,000 people join, and by the end of chapter 2, it says, verse 42, it's an incredible verse, and a verse that really guides us today. Can you see the first word in this verse? Come on, what's the first word in this verse? It is, how many of you would be included in that? Remember chapter 2 and verse 4, when the power of the Holy Spirit came into the room? How many people received the power of the Spirit? So this is for everybody. It's inclusive. And this commitment to community, it's not for some of us. There's not a way to opt out of this. All of the believers, so if you're a believer, this includes you, they devoted themselves to these things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and they devoted themselves to fellowship, and they devoted themselves to sharing in meals, hallelujah, praise the Lord, including the Lord's Supper, and they devoted themselves to prayer. They knew that they were a part of something greater than themselves, and they decided to be a part. They showed up because they said, hey, all of us need to learn. So we're going to show up regularly to receive the apostles' teaching, which is the teaching of Scripture. It's what we're doing here right now. You've chosen to come today. Give yourselves a pat on the back. Or go ahead, pat the person on the back beside you. Go ahead, just say, good for you. How many know it sometimes takes devotion to get here? Because you've got to just realize, and some of you go, oh, I don't know. You don't come for yourself. Compassion says, I need to be there because maybe there's somebody else I need to help. So they devoted themselves to fellowship. And that's what fellowship is, koinonia, the Greek word. It's about coming together because you realize you are a part of something bigger than yourselves. And because you are a part of something, you don't stay apart from something. Right? So they showed up for fellowship. They showed up and they ate meals. Come on. Where are all the food people? Where are all? This is right up here. And it was. There's a difference. Watch this. There is a difference between eating and sharing a meal. There's way too much eating going on in North America. Come on, somebody. I could say that on several levels right there. There's way too much eating going on in North America. There's not enough sharing of meals. In especially in Eastern context, that's why like Italians, it's an event, and you come to my table because you're part of my extended family, and we break bread together, and the TV is turned off, and the phones are put away. I went to a restaurant. This last week, I was in a restaurant. I watched a couple sit and eat, but they weren't sharing a meal because the two of them, the whole meal, I watched them. They didn't say a word to each other unless they were texting each other. I don't know. I felt like saying, she's right there. Talk to her. So families, I always encourage families to meet and share a meal. Turn the TV off. Don't answer the phone. No cell phones allowed. Because you're sharing a meal. How are you? How was your week? What did you learn today? When our family was growing up, it was a high priority for us to share a meal. And when the food was over, we never left the table because we weren't done yet, because we had to go around the table. Everyone had to answer this question. What is something you are thankful for from yesterday or today to cultivate the attitude of gratitude? And everyone had to pray. Not long, short, could be, but everyone had to pray. Because they weren't staying apart, they were being a part. And they were eating and they were praying for each other. See, they devoted themselves to prayer. And that kind of prayer was not prayer closet praying. Now there's a time to pray in your prayer closet, a time when you pray by yourself. But if that's all you're doing, your prayer life is deficient. I'm gonna say that again. If all your prayer life is praying in your prayer closet, your private time of prayer, your prayer life is deficient. You need to have the gateway of greater power, which is compassion, which says it's not just about me, it's about you as well. I prayed with a guy this morning named Doug. He said, I've been praying by myself a lot, but I need to pray with another believer. I said, that's the message of the day. So we prayed together. I need you to know that I need you to pray for me. And whether you know it or not, you need the people around you to pray for you. And they devoted themselves to prayer because they were motivated by compassion. And they were an incredibly powerful church. You know what? They went to church a lot, too. I'll just say a lot. For those of you that find once a week a lot. Some of you only come like a couple of times a month and go, oh, my Lord. Oh. There's a reason why the North American church is rather powerless. Now, I'm not saying that you have to come every day or give 100%. Not an amen in the house, but the model they said is like, follow. So here they are. Watch what they did. Verse 46, they continued daily. So every day they went to church. That's a lot. They continued daily with one accord in the temple. Now, the temple was a large gathering, like thousands of people, like what we're doing now, hundreds, thousands of people coming together. We know there were thousands of people because in Acts chapter 3, Peter preaches in the temple, speaks in the temple, and Acts 4 and 4 says that 2,000 people that were present made commitments to God through Jesus Christ. So that means it was a big gathering. There was a lot of people that were there. So they came together like this. And what else did they do? They got together house to house. And we're emphasizing that this weekend. Now, lack of compassion says, hey, it's all about me. Compassion cares for others. Compassion says, I may not feel like going, but I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. Can I just say this? Your comfort zone is not the zone of power. That's your comfort zone. Peter in the upper room, comfortable. All his buddies, all his friends praying. Wind, fire, whoa. The street, oh, not everybody's going to like me on the street. And not everybody did. They arrested him in a few days. The comfort zone is not the zone of power. The zone of power is when you move into the zone of the unknown, when you take that step of faith and you step forward. So we have this weekend, and after we're dismissed here, there will be tables out in the lobby, and I want you to take some of you, the zone of the unknown will be for you to talk to somebody today. And you're even in church. This is very easy to talk to people in church. No one here is going to yell at you. No one's going to say, what are you doing at my table? No one to say, hey, how are you? And answer some questions. Some of you could open your home. That would be a step. Some of you could have prayer groups gather. It's because that early church had this incredible power because it wasn't about them. It was about us. Do you get that? It wasn't about me. It was about we. So we get out of the upper room and we are on the streets so that our voice can be heard because it's not about us. It's about speaking to the community. They gave generously because it wasn't about them. It was about us. And so they shared and made sure nobody had a need. They gathered together house to house because it wasn't about me. It was about we. And that's where the power of God is increased. It's why this early church had such power. Last week, when we finished the teaching on surrendering to God, and the emphasis of that message was to be in the right place at the right time and say yes. One of the ladies from the church came and said, Pastor, can I talk to you? I said, sure. She said, I know exactly what you're saying. I know about being in the right place at the right time. I was in a restaurant some time ago. I was in a restaurant, and in the restaurant, there was a young lady. She looked to be in great distress. And so I felt, you know, that inner voice that we hear, that's the Holy Spirit, that inner voice of God, I felt to go talk to her. So what did she have to do? She had to get over her fear to take a walk towards the talk. So she walked towards that young lady, and sure enough, that young lady was single, no support, pregnant, planning to terminate the pregnancy. So this lady that was literally directed by the Holy Spirit in a restaurant, I want to say again, in a restaurant, not in this room, because the power of God is not just for this room. The power of God is for the restaurant and the place that you work and the place that you work out. So you listen and you walk towards the talk and you don't exactly know what you're going to say. And there's some apprehension, but you know in that moment you will receive power. Because compassion is filling your soul. So she said, you talked to her, she ministered to her, she helped her. And she said, Pastor, I want you to meet her. She's here right now. And she introduced me and said, and she's 3 months pregnant. She's keeping the baby because she took that walk. And then we pass by people all the time. I just want us to, like Jesus, when he looked at the crowd, he didn't go, oh, the crowd, oh, the traffic, oh, my Lord. He said his heart was filled with compassion. And that compassion allowed the power of God to flow through his life so that there were no diseases, no illnesses, because he walked in power. And he asks us to walk in power. I'll say it again. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the influence of your life will increase. in your Jerusalem, wherever you are, in your Judea, wherever you're going, in your Samaria, the place you didn't think you'd get to be an influence in, but you, all of a sudden you are, and literally all over the whole world. So in a moment, I'm going to pray for God's blessing, and then we're going to go out from this place, and I just want to encourage you to take a step of faith, to walk and have a talk, maybe with someone who's not going to reject you. Just say, hey, what's this group about? Or to say, hey, I could start a group. How can I do this? Who do I need to talk to? That we would be more and more modeled like this early group. I'm not trying to set Christianity back 50 years. Let's go back 2,000 years and just see, how did this group change their whole generation? How did this small group of people make such a radical impact that is still rippling, that we feel in this church today? Because they didn't stay in the upper room because they loved what was going on in the streets. Because they opened up their pockets and they shared and they gave. And they said, come and eat with me and let me pray with you. And they realized that they were a part of something bigger than themselves. And so at this church, if all you do is come and sit in the rows, you haven't captured this message yet. And we're calling you from the rows to circles, from this house to a house, or a place that you can gather together and talk and pray and support each other. Compassion will be a gateway, because all of a sudden you realize it's not about you, it's about us. Thank you for that. Amen. I appreciate that. Let's stand for prayer. Can we do that? Let's close our eyes. Let's open our hearts. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will draw every single person in this room towards God through Jesus Christ. No one in this room is so far away from God that God can't change you if you will take a step of faith. No matter how many steps you've taken away from God, it is only one step to come back. That's the step of faith. And we're going to take that step together in a prayer. A community prayer, a communion prayer. And I'm going to lead it and ask every single person in the room to pray it with me. And if you pray this prayer from your heart of hearts, a life with God will begin in you. So here's our prayer. Let's pray it together. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I open my heart and my soul to Jesus Christ. Come in and be my Savior. Come in and be my Lord. I repent of my sins and I receive forgiveness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a beautiful prayer. Yeah, so look this way. So if you are saying yes to God today, a few things you can do. One is you can text this number, and if you text that number, we'll send you an ebook to help you spiritually. We had people do this last week, and we're going to do it again. So you can just get that number. Just text yes. I said yes to God. You can stop by, if you'd like, the VIP room. There'll be people there after the service back at your left-hand side. If you're a guest and you've never been here before, also, that VIP room is for you as well. We'd like to meet you, give you some gifts, and just thank you for coming. And then take some time to hang around for a few minutes and talk to people and make sure that you're connected to community. Because that early church had such power because it wasn't about me, it was about we. And so I pray that the Lord will bless you and the Lord will keep you. That the God of hope will fill you with all joy and with all peace, so that you will overflow with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, you are very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Grace and peace, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday. We'll see you next week.